Hello, and welcome back to the Living Truth Ministries podcast. I feel blessed to present this ongoing series of what to do when you don't know what to do. I'm your host, Stacy Cagwin, and today's lesson is entitled Ambushing the Enemy. Today's lesson is one of two parts. Today, we will learn how to praise and worship, and how that praise and worship activates the Lord to move in our behalf. We will learn the importance of praise to ambush the enemy. Last week, we learned the six steps of prosperity. We learned that true success is how God sees us, and that success comes from God Himself. We also learned what we should and shouldn't do so that we may fully prosper. Most importantly, we learned to live by the standards of the Word and not of the world. We should strive to be successful in God first, then other things of life will be added to us. Now, let's vigorously pursue God as I declare this proclamation from Isaiah 55, 10, and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire, and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. 2 Chronicles 20:22 through 24. The turning point in Jehoshaphat's dilemma came when God's people acted upon the divine revelation that they were given. Faith is a fact that always involves an act. When you receive the word of faith for salvation, you act upon it by responding, and you are saved. Noah acted upon a word received from God concerning a forthcoming flood and built an ark to preserve life on the earth. Moses received a commission to deliver Israel and acted upon it by returning to Egypt to petition Pharaoh in their behalf. Blind men saw, the lame walked, and the deaf heard, as they acted in response to the words of Jesus Christ. Faith is not just passive believing or wishful hoping. Faith is acting on the fact of God's word. Jehoshaphat was instructed by God, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." 2 Chronicles 20:15 through 17. Jehoshaphat had a word from God and acted on it in faith. The next day, he positioned himself for victory and watched God work in his behalf. What does it mean to position yourself for victory? The answer is given in this passage. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. 2 Chronicles 20:21 and 22. When you position yourself in praise and worship, God will move in your behalf. Israel began to sing and praise God, and ambushes were set by the Lord against the advancing enemy. God moved in their behalf when they began to sing and praise, not when they finished. The enemy was ambushed by God, and when Israel arrived on the battlefield, instead of finding living men to contend with, they found only the carcasses of the enemy. There they were, in full battle array, armed with shields and spears. But there was no life in them. Their deadly potential was eliminated when God's people began to praise and worship. Repeatedly in the Old Testament conflicts, God directs Israel to send the tribe of Judah into the battle first. The name Judah means to praise. So whenever you see that name used, substitute the word praise, because praise is the purpose for which we are ordained. My sons, Do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense. 2 Chronicles 29:11. The first of the Ten Commandments is to worship God, Exodus 20:1-5, and Psalm 45:11. And the Bible reveals that God actively seeks those who will worship and praise him. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father, in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. John 4:23. God created us to praise him. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Isaiah 43:21. The Bible is filled with commands for us to praise God. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:5. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Praise the Lord, for it is good. Praise is becoming and appropriate. Psalm 147:1. What does it mean to praise God? Praise involves worship and thanksgiving. To worship means to do reverence, to kiss, to do homage towards, revere, stand in awe of, show devotion, bow down, and honor. Worship is an acknowledgement of God, his nature, attributes, ways, and work. We thank God by acknowledging our gratitude for his works. We praise him by blessing him, celebrating and boasting of what he has done. Actually, the word praise has 8 different meanings, 2 of which are quite interesting. They are to release before the Lord and to be clamorously foolish. Other words related to praise and worship are to glorify or to give honor to, rank, beauty. To honor or to exalt and show preference, or to magnify is to ascribe greatness or glorify. There is no sharp dividing line between praise, worship, and thanksgiving. As you worship, you can flow easily from one to the other, as demonstrated in the book of Psalms. Many of us are conditioned to being led into worship, but God says, you enter and you offer a sacrifice of praise. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13:15. How should we praise God in truth and spirit? Jesus said, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John 4:23-24. What does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? Turn to John 4 in your Bible, which summarizes the encounter of Jesus with a Samaritan woman. Jesus was resting by a well when a woman came to draw water. She was obviously poor materially, since she had no servant to draw water for her. But she was even poorer spiritually. Jesus told the woman, "If you knew," John 4:10, indicating that you must worship from a position of knowing. Knowledge or truth results in understanding who the Lord is and results in worship. Jesus said, "If you knew, you would ask." Knowledge, truth, always requires a response. The woman told Jesus, "You have nothing to draw with to give me this water." Like this woman, many of us focus on the impossibilities of life while we are in the presence of the source of miracles. The life that Jesus gives results in worship, a spiritual stream that quenches your thirst by springing up from deep within your spirit. When you face impossible situations and you begin to worship, then the miracle worker is present because God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3. Jesus said that the Samaritans worshipped with spirit, but without truth, verses 19-24. In the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, when the Samaritans were not allowed to help Israel rebuild the temple, where they built their own temple on Mount Gerizim. This was a site where they believed Abraham offered Isaac and Jacob, and had his dream of the latter extending to heaven. The Samaritans climbed this mountain often and worshipped, but they did not know what they worshipped. They were enthusiastic in their worship, but without the truth of the gospel. The Jews, on the other hand, worshipped in truth or law, but with no spirit. Jesus, who was a Jew, said, "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." The Jews understood the truth, but they were cold, legalistic, hypocritical, and ritualistic. They went through the motions of worship, but their hearts were not in it. God is to be worshipped both Father and Spirit. Spirit is nature, while Father is relationship. The issue of true worship is not where and when it is done, as much as who and how. If you are a true worshiper, you do not have to try to find God. God comes looking for you, because he seeks those who worship him in spirit and truth. Man is a triune being composed of a body, which is visible, and an invisible soul and spirit. The soul is the soulish nature of a man, the mind, will, and emotions. The spirit is the spiritual inner man, and your spirit has emotional responses like the soul. Soul and spirit are closely related, but are separate, because the Bible tells us the word of God is sharp and can divide them. You cannot really worship with your spirit unless it is energized by his spirit. So worshiping in spirit involves the Holy Spirit also. As you worship, God's spirit bears witness with your spirit. Romans 8:16. Since man is a triune being, when you worship with your spirit, you must also worship with your soul and body. The word truth means to uncover, open up, and not hide. Worship is to be based on the truth, which is information gained in meditation, which results from time spent with God reading the Bible. If you are going to truly worship, you must be committed to the Word of God, not just some emotional feeling. To worship in spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to move upon your redeemed spirit, causing love, adoration, devotion, honor, and respect to ascend to God who is a spirit. To worship in truth is to worship according to the Word of God and to properly respond to the truth of God. I don't know about your experience with praise and worship, but when I praise God with all my heart and worship Him with all my soul and spirit, I feel the strength of the Holy Spirit rise up within me. I have a strong sense that I really can do all things through God because greater is He within me. I hope you will join me next week as we continue the second part of this lesson. We will learn when, where, and how to worship God. We will learn how to reverse everything the enemy has done. The Bible says that what the enemy meant for harm, God will use for good. Let's spend the next week believing on this promise as we lift God up in praise and worship. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. And may He keep you in all your ways. And may you have a great rest of your day.
Join Stacy next week as she continues the series, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. We are on Facebook, PodPoint, LTM Radio, LTBC, and LTM website. Harvest Time International Institute and Living Truth Bible College furnish all material. You can find helpful material like this and more by going to www.myltbc.org. Again, that's myltbc.org. If you enjoy Stacy's teachings, let her know. Or if you have questions concerning today's lesson, then send her an email. Her email address is stacy@ltm4christ.com. Again, that's stacy@ltm4christ.com. This broadcast is brought to you by Living Truth Ministries.